My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, perhaps even more controversial than bad driving, pocket money for kids. Should you give it to them? If yes, what age should you start at? Should it be connected to doing chores? Should the child be allowed to spend the money on whatever they like? And how much should they get? There's a lot in it. Rachel O'Dwyer is the author of Tokens, The Future of Money in the Age of the Platform. Afternoon, Rachel.
Good afternoon, John.
Okay, so on the first question, what's your position? Should children be given pocket money?
I think I'm not a parenting expert. I mean, I am a parent, but I would be for pocket money, but very much as a sort of no strings attached payment as opposed to something that it kind of is used to produce, you know, desired behaviours or to produce the kind of right sort of financial actor going forward, I guess, which I think is often how people think about pocket money today.
Okay,
you know, we're
yeah.
trying to teach them literacy, trying to teach them financial literacy or teach them to be good, you know, citizens. Or
so you wouldn't say, you know, you have a weekly job and you'll get your pocket money once you've done your weekly job.
Not really, no. I mean, I think my son does have weekly jobs and I'll put my hand up and say, you know, sometimes he is paid extra money for doing those. But his pocket money is sort of a no strings attached.
Okay.
Payment.
All right. That's interesting because, yeah, so would you have any say on what he's going to spend the pocket money on?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I know last year, for example, every child on our street had an obsession with this awful drink called Prime. And that was what pocket money was going on, you know, and it's disgusting and it's a ripoff. But I kind of feel like they should have, there's very little sort of freedom that children have today. And I think, you know, I think it's good to give them a little bit of a slice of that kind of economic freedom to spend it how they want and to make mistakes with it.
Yeah. Okay. Because there could be an argument that if you just give a child money, then they don't learn anything from it in the sense that they're not going, well, I only have so much money and I can buy this or I can buy that. They're just thinking, well, I got that free money and maybe I can go back, you know, begging to mommy and daddy for something else.
Well, I guess if there was a lesson that I want him to learn, it's less about how to, you know, it's less, I think the lesson sometimes we think we're trying to teach children with pocket money is sort of just rewards. So a kind of a work or you don't get money or contribute in a particular way to society or you don't eat. And I'd rather maybe if there was a lesson, I'd rather that it was sort of that maybe actually we're entitled to certain things. Yeah, it's less, I suppose, about his relationship to money and more about his relationship to other people. I don't sort of bring that idea that everything has to be incentivized into his sort of adult life, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah. No, I don't know. Would it affect everything in that sense? And well, let me give you an example. If you know, you give them a pocket money and there's something they want to buy, and then at least they have to go through the process of learning how much it costs and whether they can afford it or not. Maybe they have to save up 2 weeks' pocket money.
My son gets pocket money. Yeah, no, he does get pocket money. It's just the pocket money isn't tied to particular conditions or, you know, things I want him to do. But no, he does have pocket money. So I guess, yeah, they are learning financial literacy.
Yeah, and can I ask how much you give?
I found out it's actually quite stingy when I was doing the research. So he gets €3, which I thought was fine, but apparently
Sweet. It's
supposed to be €1. No, it's supposed to be €1, I think, per year, I heard.
Oh, right. So, okay. Oh, so how old is your...
He's eight.
Right.
He's eight. So, okay. I mean, in fairness, it's not a huge sum that he's getting weekly, but... yeah, he will. Like, he got €10 a couple of weeks ago for sort of helping out at a football tournament for the afternoon. You know, so he does get money for doing chores as well or bigger jobs.
And he hasn't come back to you and said, you know, Tommy and Mary are getting, you know, a tenner a week or anything like that yet?
No, actually, there doesn't seem to be a huge amount of discussion, but we were talking about it a little bit this week. So he has one friend who doesn't get pocket money, and then he has another who gets €10. So it seems like it's still pretty varied. Maybe when he's older, there'll be a bit more of a discussion about what's a fair amount.
And is it cash?
It is cash, yeah. So I know Revolut, you know, for kids is sort of a bigger thing. So he does have friends who have that. But he's definitely more cash rich usually than I am.
Okay, all right. And would you have a view on the Revolut thing?
Yeah, I think last year I was looking a little bit at pocket money for children and I suppose the rise of these apps, you know, for delivering pocket money, maybe because a lot of the time now we don't have a lot of cash handy. And I'd be a little bit wary, I think, of some of the apps. So they're kind of handy in some ways because you can just transfer the money directly. Parents like them because you can link the pocket money payment to particular chores in the app. Some of them even allow you to punitively subtract money for bad behavior. And they allow you to, you know, embargo particular kinds of purchases. In fact, I think Revolut's Pockets app automatically, you know, doesn't allow the person with the app to buy like alcohol or gambling services or cigarettes. So there's a lot there that maybe parents would be drawn to. But at the same time, I think we need to maybe think about what are these sort of payments apps doing with this transactional data? I'm not talking about whether your child brushes their teeth, you know, but maybe there is a sort of value in the sort of circulation of money, I guess, within the family. And I think parents as well increasingly seem to use pocket money apps as a way to almost survey their children in a fashion that wouldn't have been possible when I was a teenager. You know, I'm not going to list the things that I bought maybe as a teenager that I shouldn't have because my mother, I think, listens. But, you know, there's something to be said maybe for having that sort of freedom, and maybe it's the freedom to make mistakes or, you know, to have a little bit of experimentation without feeling like your parents are looking over your shoulder and seeing everywhere you go and everything you buy.
Yeah. And I suppose if you're getting €3, it's physically there in your hand, you know how much it is and you have more of a sense of how much it's worth.
Yeah, he tends to know exactly, you know, to the cent how much money he has in his little kind of box at any time. Yeah.
Rachel, thanks very much for talking with us today. That was Rachel O'Dwyer there. Rachel is a writer and a lecturer in digital cultures in the National College of Art and Design. One Texas says, we got pocket money every week growing up and I spent most of it at the sweet shop. Now I'm paying for it in dental work. You might need a bit more than your pocket money to pay for that.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.